Folks, we're going to come to the scriptures. I'd like to turn you to John chapter 9 and the words of verse 4. I pray the Lord to write this text on your heart this morning. The text says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The theme of the message this morning, and I trust the Lord will challenge you through it and write it on your heart. The theme of the message is, your life will soon be over. And all of the things that I have thought through and pondered over since the day that I took seriously ill in Dublin Airport back in the spring of last year, that is a lesson the Lord has taught me and written upon my heart. And I pray you might write it upon all of your hearts today through this message. Your life will soon, very soon, be over. And I want you to think very carefully about that this morning, brethren and sisters. Sir Walter Scott, you may be familiar with him, is one of Scotland's most famous writers. There is a large monument to him on Princes Street in Edinburgh. Watch out for it if you're ever visiting there. Sir Walter Scott married Elizabeth Carpenter. They married on Christmas Eve in the year 1797. He was just 26 years of age. Before he got married, he did two very significant things. One was, he arranged where he wanted to be buried. As you would imagine, that horrified his fiancée. Before they were even married, he was thinking about death and where he was going to be laid to rest. The other very significant thing that he did was, he prepared a lovely home where he and his bride would live together. Sir Walter Scott was a very keen gardener, and he planned, and then he planted a beautiful garden all around that house. And in the centre of the garden there was a very impressive sundial. And in keeping with the practice of those times, Scott had a motto engraved upon the dial. And the motto was three Greek words taken from this text, John 9 verse 4. They were the words, listen to them carefully, the night cometh. Sir Walter Scott got the idea to use those words as his life's motto, because that's what they became to him. He got the idea to use those words as his life's motto from another very famous writer of the time, the Englishman, Dr. Samuel Johnson. At the time that Sir Walter was courting and then got married, Boswell's famous biography of Johnson had just been published, and there was a lot of talk about it. In that biography, and Scott had read it himself, he read the story of Dr. Johnson's pocket watch, which also had engraved upon it the face of the watch, in Greek, those same words, the night cometh. Sir Walter Scott was a Christian, and those words spoke to him very powerfully. Even as a young man, he realized that his life would soon be over. And because of that fact, he knew that he must make the best use that he could of his day. Remember Henry Francis Lyte's hymn, talking about swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Well, he knew that because of the fact that his life would soon be over, he had to make the best use that he could of his little day, life's little day, here upon this earth. And I pray that you will see that today, men and women, as never before, that your life upon this earth, will soon be gone, soon be over. We've had that emphasized to us in the service already with the announcement of those two bereavements. And because of the fact that your life will soon be over, here's the great lesson, men and women, the great message. You need to use it carefully. You need to use your days upon this earth wisely. This verse, John 9 verse 4, was Walter Scott's motto text for life. It guided him right throughout his days upon this earth. And I pray it might be yours too, to guide you through your life also. There's some truths from this verse about your service for Christ that I want to impress upon your hearts for a few minutes this morning. Can I emphasize to you, first of all, that you need to be industrious in your service for Christ. You look at the words of the text. It says, I must work the works of him that sent me. If I could encourage you to read the life of D.L. Moody, there's much that you could learn from the study of his life, for the reading of his biography. Whenever D.L. Moody first met a man that became another great evangelist, that was R.A. Torrey. Torrey was studying at Yale University at the time. And Moody said to him, young man, you had better get to work for the Lord. And brethren and sisters, that's what the Lord is saying to your hearts today from this text. You had better get to work. You had better get to work in my service. You have been cold and indifferent and careless long enough about the things of God. I want to say to you, brethren and sisters, God is looking for workers. God is looking for those who are known for their industry, those that are known for their labours in his service. Do you remember Pharaoh? He said to Joseph about his brothers, if thou knowest any men of activity among them. Pharaoh wanted workers. He described them especially as men of activity. And can I say to you, brethren and sisters, that the King of Kings is just the same. The King of Kings wants workers too. Can I warn you as we think of that? The devil will want to divert you. Maybe that's what he's done in your life already. You'd have to admit that. The devil will want to divert you from the service of Christ. The devil will want to discourage you from serving the Lord Jesus. And he will use all sorts of means. We're not ignorant of his devices. Remember that here in this passage, the Saviour himself was opposed. The Saviour was persecuted by the Sanhedrin, by the religious leaders of his days, the religious leaders among the Jews. They said, think of the words, they said, this man is not of God. That's what they said about the Saviour. But regardless of what they said about him, and regardless of all that they did, the Lord Jesus worked on. And he sets us a great example there, brethren and sisters, that we must do the same. So let me exhort you, whatever difficulties you're facing, whatever trouble comes, whatever disappointment you face, regardless of who disappoints you, who lets you down, what the Lord wants is this, brethren and sisters. He wants you to be steadfast. He wants you to be faithful. He wants you to be unmovable in the work of the gospel. Can I point out to you, as you think of the words of John 9 verse 4, the word work is in the continuous tense. The idea behind that is you're to be faithful and you're to keep on. You're to be constant. You're to keep on at the work. Sadly, there are Christians and you can't depend upon them. They promise to help. They promise to be there. But when the time comes, they don't turn up. You can never be sure. Never be sure. There's always that doubt in your mind if they will come. Do you remember the scripture illustration of that? The father that said, son, go work today in my vineyard. And he replied, I go, sir. But he went not. You couldn't believe him. How sad that is. You couldn't depend upon him. And there are many Christians like that. Many have said that they'll go. Many who have said they will go to the mission field, go and serve the Lord full time. But just like that son, they went not. There are those that are talented, yes, very talented. Maybe you're one of those people, great talents. Dependable? The answer there often is no. I wonder are you like that? Can I remind you this morning, brethren and sisters, the greatest ability in the service of Christ is still availability. Always remember that. You may not be as talented as others. Sometimes they might laugh and mock at your efforts for the Saviour. But are you available? Are you available to do a work? Because remember, that's what the Lord wants. That's what the Lord is looking for. As we sang in the words of that hymn just a little earlier, the little I can. And in the great scheme of things, men and women, that's the best that any of us can do. But the little I can, Lord, let me do. And remember, that will bring the smile. That will bring the blessing. That will bring the benediction of heaven down upon your life and down upon your service. Do you remember what Paul said to young Timothy? That young man setting out in the work of God, Neglect not the gift that is in thee. And yet many do. Maybe you're one of them. You have gifts and talents that could be greatly used in the work of the gospel. But you neglect them as far as serving the master is concerned. You give all your gifts, all your talents to the things of this world, to making money, to trying to climb up the corporate ladder. Well, you notice the verse says, I must work the works of him that sent me. It's not I will work if I can. It's not I will work if I choose. It's not I will work if I have the time. The Savior himself, and remember these are his words, he said, I must work. Can I urge you, take a little time, maybe you could do it this afternoon, read through the Gospel of John, take a notebook and a pen, and study the musts. Right through John's Gospel there are many statements that have the word must. Ye must be born again, must worship him in spirit and in truth. That'll prime the pump for you. Study the must of the Gospel of John. Here, men and women, is an imperative. And it's more than that, because it's a divine imperative. Brethren and sisters, I want you to see today that being in God's work, I want you to see today that serving Christ is not something that is optional for the Christian. It's something that is absolutely essential. There are some people in the church, and what they must do is bluff. There's some that must dodge the opportunity. There's some that must find fault. How many sit in church pews every week, and that's the sort of Christian they are, must be finding fault in everything that everybody else does, but never do anything themselves. There's some, and they must be scandalizing others, using their lips. The Lord wants us to speak with our lips, but he wants us to speak about him. The Lord says, what you must do is work. Work for him. That's the essential thing. He wants you to be industrious in the work of the gospel. And I wonder, men and women, is that true of you? Is that true of every Christian here in this church? Mr. Moody, that we mentioned, penned a number of books. There's one that's entitled, To the Work, To the Work. And men and women, that's the appeal the Saviour is making here to every Christian. If there's one thing we need to do, thinking of the fact that our days are short, our life will soon be over, we need to be to the work. We need to put our hand to the work of the gospel. So I want you to see that we need to be industrious in our service. I want you to see also in the text the importance of your service for Christ. Can I stress that to you? The importance of the work of God. The importance of serving the Lord Jesus with your talents and your time here upon this earth. Look at how the text actually continues. I must work the works of him that sent me. Those words, the works of him that sent me. Isn't it true? You know it to be the case yourself. There are many people who are workers, but they only ever work for themselves, for their own ends, for their own welfare, for their own glory. There are many who just work to make themselves rich. Is that how you've been using your life thus far? There are people, even in the church, and they just work to make themselves rich, famous, powerful, whatever the case may be. But that's not what the Lord is looking for. What the Lord is looking for is those who will work for him. That's what makes the difference, men and women. Those who will devote their life to his service, to the cause of the gospel. Those who are willing to go where he sends them to go. There's an important principle. There's an important truth to see, to grasp in this text. And it's this. We must work the works of him that sent us while it is day. The hymn that we sang as we took up the offering. What he says, we will do. Where he sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Can I ask you for a moment, think of the Saviour, consider him. Think of how he lived his life while he was here upon this earth. He said in John's Gospel, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. Can I ask you, men and women, is that how you've been living your life? Just doing your own will? There's only two types of Christian. Those that are subject to the will of God and those that are self-willed. And the Bible talks about those who are self-willed. He said, I came down from heaven not to do mine own will. You think of those words. Think of what the Saviour said in the Psalms. Lo, I come in the volume of the book that is written of me. I delight to do thy will. Is that your attitude to what the Lord's calling you to? What the Lord's speaking to you about? His will for your life? You delight in it? Delight to know it? Delight to do it? So here's the example of the Saviour. He submitted to the Father's will. And brethren and sisters, you must do the same. I want to stress that to you. There's so much to be done. The harvest is plenteous. There are billions to reach with the gospel. We sometimes sing the chorus, untold millions are still untold. But we could revise that. Untold billions. 7.5 billion or thereabouts is the world's population today. We need to pray for a renewed vision, brethren and sisters. And here's your responsibility. It's this. To find out what part of the work of the gospel the Lord wants you to be in, to be involved in. Not what position you want. Too many Christians like that. The position that they want. What you need to seek the Lord about is what position he wants you to be in. And you need to pray about that. And you need to pray about it earnestly. And ask the Lord to reveal it to you. You need to pray with Paul. What wilt thou have me to do? That's always the first prayer. That's always the first request that we should make when you want to serve the Lord. Lord, what is it that you want me to do? Where is it that you want me to go? What is it, Lord, that you want me to do with the remainder of my life here upon this earth? And I want to urge you to take that upon your heart as you face the future. You notice that our text says the works. It's in the plural. The Saviour declared the works of him that sent me. And the idea is you're to do every work that he asks of you. You're to do all the work, all the will of God. Not just some or most or the easiest or the nicest. You're to do all of them. Remember, the Lord may call you to a difficult work. He may call you to a challenging task. He may send you to a place of suffering. He may send you in his will to a place that is obscure, not prominent, not in the public gaze. But the reality, men and women, is that whatever it is, whatever sort of work the Lord has for you, you must be willing. You must be willing to go and must be willing to do and to submit to his will. So these are the words of the Saviour. The works of him that sent me. And these words of the Saviour reveal his heart to us. He was totally, he was unreservedly given over to do the Father's will. And I pray you'll see today that you must be the same. That's the attitude, that's the desire the Lord is looking for in our hearts also. So you need to, as a child of God today, you need to be industrious. You need to see the importance of the work. And the other thing, the final thing I'll stress to you this morning is that you need to be immediately in the service of the Lord Jesus. The text closes with the words, while it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. The Lord Jesus knew, as no other man ever did, he had only a short time. He had only a short period of earthly ministry. He knew that he'd only 3.5 years. And so he lived wisely. He lived diligently. He didn't waste a moment. He didn't waste an opportunity. And brethren and sisters, if that was true of him, then I suggest to you this morning, how much more is that not true for you and I? You've only a little time here. You've only a little time to work. Only a little time to work for the Lord. And I want to encourage you to stop a moment and to take that in. John R. Rice, The famous American evangelist, Dr. Paisley, preached a special service that was arranged to mark John R. Rice's 75th birthday. Very interesting to read of that. John R. Rice, as well as being a preacher and a writer, was a hymn writer. One of the hymns that he wrote was So Little Time. You can hear his six daughters, John R. Rice had six daughters. They sang that hymn together at a special soul-winning convention in the Cobo Hall, as it was then known in Detroit, back in 1978. I want to emphasize those words to you this morning. So little time, men and women, and then the harvest will be over. The opportunity to reap, to win souls for Christ. Isn't that what Paul said, writing to the Corinthian believers? The time is short. I pray you'll see that as never before, men and women. The time to serve. The time to work for Christ. The time to labor for him upon this earth. It's so very short. And every year that passes reminds us of that fact. The time to work is shorter. The time that we have to serve the Lord Jesus is running out. And it's very quickly running out for us. And every time you experience ill health, every time there's a death of a friend or a loved one or a member of the congregation, it drives home the message to our hearts. You don't have much time. You don't have much time here to serve the Master. Do you notice in verse 5, the Saviour declared, as long as I am in the world. He knew that he wasn't going to be on this earth forever. And brethren and sisters, the same is true of you. You're not going to be in this world. You're not going to be on this earth forever. Sometimes people live as if they were. The way they live, the money they spend, the houses they build. You think they were going to live here in this world forever and ever. You're not going to be here forever, men and women. Remember, you're hastening to the grave. We're all hastening to eternity. Life is passing you by. Passing you by so quickly. Job said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. It's a reminder of the brevity, the swiftness of life. You see, just as sure as the night will come, so will death. That's the picture. That's the analogy here in the text. Just as sure as night will come, so will death for every one of us. Just as sure as the day will end, so will your life's day. So will your life upon this earth. The night comes upon all men. Doesn't matter what nationality, what your ethnic background. The night comes upon all men. It comes upon all people. And so does death, men and women. The night cometh. You're not going to live forever. As the book of Hebrews so clearly reminds us, here we have no continuing city. And what that means is this. There's a great urgency. A great urgency to the work of God. While you still have health. While you still have time. And while you still have the opportunity. I want to say to you, brethren and sisters, don't wait. Don't be thinking I'll wait until a certain stage of my life before I do something more for the Lord. Don't you be putting it off. Don't be procrastinating. Remember, you may not have much longer. You may not live to be old. There's no guarantee in the Bible that you're going to live to be old. Think of our Savior. Died at just 33 years of age. No guarantee that you'll live to be old. You may not live to see another year through. Do you remember the solemn warning of Solomon in the book of Proverbs? You're not to boast even of tomorrow, let alone another year or another decade. What a challenge there is, men and women. Labor. Labor for Christ. And labor while you can. You think of it like this. If you knew you had only a month to live, how diligent you would be with those days. How careful, how earnest you would be to witness to loved ones and to pray for their salvation. If You knew that you'd only one or two more classes, one or two more meetings. Sunday school teachers, children's workers, youth leaders. If you knew that you'd only one or two more classes, one or two more meetings with the children, with the young people, to speak of Christ and to point them to Him for salvation, you think of how fervently you would speak to them of the things of God. And yet the reality is that's how we should labour all the time, men and women. We don't have long to serve the Master. So you need to be earnest. You need to be fervent. You need to be urgent in your labours and in your witness for Christ. As Richard Baxter, the great Puritan preacher, said, we should preach as though I might never preach again. As a dying man to dying men. So what a warning there is here, men and women. What a challenge to every Christian. Don't trifle with your life. Maybe that's what you've been doing already. Don't trifle with your time upon this earth. Can I remind you that statement that we're all so familiar with? You only have one life. You only have one opportunity for Christ. You've only one opportunity to give to the Lord. And it'll soon be past, men and women. So soon, it will be over. You think of the question, when should you work for Christ? When should you labour for Him? And the answer is now, immediately, instantly. Don't wait another day. Don't wait until it's too late. If you think of those in heaven, and we've been reminded in the service today, as the Salvation Army people used to say of those that have been promoted to higher service, how blessed a condition they're in this morning. What a comfort that is to all that have been bereaved. You think of those in heaven before the throne of God. There's a description of them that is given in the book of the Revelation. You ponder their happy condition. Can you hear them sing the praises of Jesus? Well, remember this. They now can do no service here for Christ. Their life is over. Their day of opportunity is gone. It will never be given back to them. You know, we might think it would be good, it would be better if they could come and labour here for the Saviour. Think of what they could tell of what they had seen in the glory land. Think of how powerfully they could speak. But you know, men and women, the Master has not decreed it so. That is not His will. What the Lord wants is for you to work. You to serve Him. He gives you, for just a little time, an opportunity. Think of the privilege that is. He gives to you a little time, a little opportunity of service here for Him while you're still upon this earth. And I urge you, the burden of my heart, the burden of my message to you today is avail of that opportunity. Be up and doing for Christ so that when your day on earth is over, you will have no regrets. No regrets of how you lived. No regrets of how you served the Master. The great thing, men and women, when you come to die, is that you can look forward to eternity without fear. Because you know that you're saved, ready to meet the Lord. And look back in your life without regret. Because you know you've served the Lord and done His will. And finished the work that He gave you to do. You think of this. In the two verses, in verse 2, the disciples asked the Saviour a theological question. They inquired, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? The disciples wanted to know something about that great mystery, this mysterious fact, of why some people are born into this world in very difficult circumstances with great disadvantages. They wanted the Saviour to talk about predestination and divine sovereignty and those mysteries, those great scriptural truths. But I encourage you to study carefully what the Saviour did. He gave them a very short answer to that question. And then He turned their thoughts in another direction. He started to talk about the work. I must work the works of Him that sent me. And I urge you to take that to heart,
brethren and sisters, there's a great practical lesson for us to see and to learn there. The Saviour didn't engage in every debate. He didn't waste too much time on those things. He didn't allow them to distract him, to take him away from the work, and nor should we. There's some people, I'm sure you have met them, they want to debate all the time. They're full of talk, but they never do anything. Never do a thing in the work of God. Well, they could talk to you about every theological discussion there is, but if you ask them, what have you done for Christ? There's not a thing they could tell you about then. We're not to be like them. We're not to be like that. He teaches us it's vital to keep up the work, brethren and sisters. And I want to urge you personally, you as a congregation, collectively, to do that in the days that lie ahead. I'll finish with this story. One of the stories that stands out in my mind that I heard as a young teenager, not long converted, in Killingure Schoolhouse, where our Carrigough church met for many years, was the story of Ruby Gray from Dermara. Some of you are familiar with that locality. Some of you are familiar with Ruby and her service in the Congo. I heard the story told by Bob and Alma McAllister. Alma's now with the Lord. Bob still lives in St. Patrick's Fold in Armagh. We visit with him from time to time. 94 years of age now. Still on fire for the Lord. Ruby Gray left Dromara, the call of God, to go and serve the Lord in the Congo. Took quite a while through training, Bible college, nursing training, before she got onto the field. She completed her first term of service, came home for a little while, went back. She was there, as the McAllisters were, during the time of the uprising, the rebel uprising. What they did one day was they took Ruby down to the river, and they murdered her, and they threw her body to the crocodiles in the river. Afterwards, when they had opportunity, some of her missionary colleagues came to the little hut where she lived. They gathered together what few belongings of hers were there and packaged them up and posted them back to Dromara, to her dear mother. You can imagine the emotion in her mother's heart when she held that package and began to open it. One of the things that was in the package was Ruby's Bible. And when the mother opened the front cover, there were written the words just inside, "I have only one life that I can give." And she certainly did give it, men and women, in the service of the Master. And I pray that the Lord, by His Spirit, will apply and even burn those words into your heart today as you think of this text. You've only one life. Only one life to give, men and women. We sang that together in our second hymn this morning. Only one life. It will soon be past. And it's only what's done for Christ will last. This is a motto text for life, men and women. I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. I pray the Lord will write those words on every heart this morning. 523. We'll just sing a couple of verses as we close. Work for the night is coming. Work through the morning hours. Work while the dew is sparkling. Work mid springing flowers. Work when the day grows brighter under the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming when man's work is done. Father, we give Thee praise for our time together, and especially for Thy word. We thank You for Your speaking voice. I want to pray, Father, You'll touch hearts in this service today. We remember those that followed King Saul, those many years ago, a band of people whose hearts the Lord had touched. Lord, do that amongst us today. Your word says we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto Thyself, which is a reasonable service. And Lord, our prayer would be that this day, and even this meeting, will be a time of dedication, a time of full surrender, of ourselves, of our time, and our talents, even unto thyself. And our prayer, Father, would be that you'll take us each up, make us instruments in your hand, make us channels of blessing every day that we live and to all that we meet. So, Father, hear our prayers. We ask you to go with us. May we know your presence right throughout this day. Bring us again in your will to the service tonight. And, Lord, we pray for even a greater sense of your presence and your power amongst us. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the communion of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, rest, remain, and abide with us all, both now and evermore. Amen.